Hello. Hello, respected viewers. I'm George from Ireland, and here I am in the fair port of Ramsgate, which lies in the county of Kent, the very southeast corner of the United Kingdom. So there are 41,000 Ramsgatonians, none of them terribly famous. Perhaps the most famous person to reside in the town was the celebrated 19th century architect, Augustus W. Pugin. He and all his sons lived here. They carried out a number of contracts here. They executed the design of St. Augustine's church here, because St. Augustine, not of Hippo, St. Augustine of Canterbury, he landed here, methinks in the 5th century AD, sent by the Pope to bring the Christian faith to England. And England was not England at the time. There was the Heptarchy, seven different kingdoms, and the King of Kent, he welcomed Augustine, converted to Christianity, gave him some land where St. Augustine built a church in wood, which was rebuilt in stone, expanded and expanded, and that became Canterbury Cathedral. So St. Augustine is the first Archbishop of Canterbury. Anyway, but more about Ramsgate. So I can't really emphasize how important the fact that it is a seaside town. And in the 19th century, it was a very popular holiday destination. People weren't into overseas travel in those days. It's very expensive. Very few people abroad spoke English. British people seldom learned other languages apart from French. And obviously just much slower, much more expensive and riskier. So you can see this marina, which can accommodate hundreds of ships. I'll show you more of it. Obviously some fishermen too. So we're beside the English Channel. So we're more or less due east of London. It's about an hour and 40 minute drive from the centre of London to get here. And I'll show you some of the private yachts. There are regular ferry services up until about 2013 to Ostend in Belgium. Unfortunately, that's come to an end. That's a knock-on effect of the Channel Tunnel. I know the Channel is a boon in many respects, but not for everyone. But one of the benefits of the Channel is obviously you can get from London to Paris in 2 hours. And the other ferry service often cancelled due to inclement weather. Look at this old tug here with a big funnel. Anyway, you can see it's got quite pretty architecture and it commands a vista over the English Channel. They're actually looking east, really, towards the North Sea more than south. You have to go around the corner of Kent to be looking south. So that's why they were sailing to Belgium mainly rather than France. It's closer to Belgium than France, actually. So we're not too far from the White Cliffs of Dover. There'll be bluebirds over the White Cliffs of Dover, as the late lamented Dame Vera Lynn sang. She who died at the age of 103 during lockdown. One of those songs that sustained Empire spirits in the Second World War. Right, so what else? It's not a terribly ethnic diverse town. There are some Ukrainians here. I just heard two women speaking Russian and they're wearing little Ukrainian flag badges. I suppose they didn't want to be mistaken for Russians despite being Russophone in view of the so-called special military operation going on now. So you're getting an idea of the scale of the place. There's a railway station and there used to be a railway station right down near the port for heavy goods to come off or passengers to be delivered more or less directly to the ferry. So their trains directly to London. There's only one railway station. So yeah, there used to be lots of hotels. There are a few of them left now, but from the 1960s, package holidays came in. I know Thomas Cook invented them over a century beforehand, but foreign travel became affordable for middle-class people in the 60s, maybe working-class people in the 70s. And that's why these seaside resorts went into long-term decline. Now, since global warming, going to the beach here has become a little bit more alluring, and indeed there is a sandy beach which is quite well rated here, and it's come back a bit. Plus the cost of living crisis, many people don't have such a disposable income, and it's often so ruinously expensive to go abroad, people are sometimes holidaying in this Britannic realm. And you can see where the railway used to go down, you're going to see that what I call it, viaduct, and some of those houses atop the bluff and this white-faced cliff over there. Trouble is I can't really see what I'm seeing because of the glare. And then there's a mole built out here to afford some protection from the ferocious gales shrieking off the horizon of the North Sea yonder. But I can't see any of those. What do you call them? Those wind turbines round about. I was just thinking how the United Kingdom's energy is about 43% renewable, but the potential to capture it is much, much greater than that. So the UK is decidedly behindhand on that, having such a huge coastline. Now, here you have a bird's eye view of the harbour for this photo. Got some idea what it's like. Okay, so anyway, they are sheltered from the tempests because the stormy blast could wreak havoc with all these little craft. So these are mostly leisure boats. And I don't think there's a freight that's shipped into and out of here. The big ships go to Felixstowe, big container port. And that's it. What else might you want to know? Obviously, there are several churches here, Anglican churches. There's obviously a Roman Catholic church. There's a very small Muslim community here. And there are plenty of seafood restaurants. And in these, under the arches of the old railway line, various small businesses like that. So Kent is often known as the Garden of England, and this county is bisected by the River Medway. There are several towns that are collectively known as the Medway towns. And I can't remember which side it is, but on the one bank of the River Medway, you're known as a man of Kent, on the other side, you're known as a Kentish man. So those kingdoms of England, they gradually united into one kingdom from about the 9th century AD onwards. Egbert, who was king of Wessex, is in southwest England. He gradually conquered the rest, and the House of Wessex managed to become the royal family of England. Of course, England as such, my name, didn't exist even conceptually until around 735, when the venerable Bede, that monk from Jarrow, wrote his ecclesiastical history of the English people. But methinks he wrote it in Latin, though the Anglo-Saxon tongue was written at the time. Right, what else is there to point out about this lovely town? Yeah, there was a Royal Air Force base here called Manston. It was built in the First World War, and the significance of the town was recognised because it was quite a major port, that the German Zeppelins from Belgium, they came over and bombed the town without great effect. Zeppelins named after Arthur Graf von Zeppelin, I think the Minister from Aviation, because planes were too small to carry a significant payload of bombs. It did cause panic, bombing raids in London and other cities, even though he killed a couple of thousand people. I don't want to be dismissive about that, but in the context of a war where 16 million people were killed, many of them civilians, that wasn't a huge amount. But there was consternation, and the public demanded the government take measures which were disproportionate to the actual threat posed. So it's a bit like a moral panic. I mean, yes, there really was a danger, people really were killed, but relative to the other threat, the peril was not that great, and perhaps too many resources were thrown at it. But anyway, it was an equally important base in the Second World War, and some of the little ships of Dunkirk, June 1940, they set sail from here, because about June 1940, up to 400,000 French and British servicemen were trapped on the beaches of Dunkirk, being surrounded by the Wehrmacht, and might be forced to capitulate. And the Royal Navy thought it might be able to evacuate 30,000 men. In the end, it was able to evacuate 338,000 men, most of them British, some of them French, perhaps some Commonwealth ones as well. So why on earth did the Germans not finish the Allies off at this point? And they held back. Was Hitler showing quarter, rather uncharacteristically? Did he think this would help him open negotiations with London if he didn't finish off the British army, the British Expeditionary Force in France? No, it was really because the Germans outrun their supply lines. They were out of ammunition and fuel and had to wait for logistics to catch up. But anyway, some of the little ships sailed over there. The Dunkirk spirit, when it seems like you're doomed, people will rally and save the day. But there's a bit of myth-making around this, and people forget those who said the little ships were paid. And all right, they were still patriotic, it was still an act of heroism. If you're going to put your life on the line, it's not wrong that you get a few shillings for that. And the little ships were seldom bringing people all the way back here to Ramsgate, often from the beach or from the mole to the bigger ships, which couldn't come so close. And there were just anything that could float, private yachts, anything, and bring them back here, but they had to leave the material behind. The tanks, the artillery, the fuel, their ammunition. I suppose they just should have blown it up, but instead they actually let it fall into German hands. The thing to do really was to counterattack. I suppose they hadn't figured out that the Germans were actually so low on ammunition and fuel, they would have been thrashed quite easily. And a very important air raid went ahead from here, launched by the RAF against the German ships Scharnhorst, Gneisenau, in 1942, when they're breaking out from the French port of Brest, going through the English Channel. I think it's that part of that campaign, that naval campaign, where later HMS Hood was sunk and the Bismarck. So what else can I tell you? There's some sort of entertainments down by the seaside here, but it doesn't get so many tourists as it used to. There are quite a few pubs. Curiously, I can't smell the sea. You think there might be this bracing Brentolation coming off the brine, but there isn't. But there are a few seagulls screeching overhead. Because, you know, quite often one smells the salt straight away. So though I cried Talassa, Talassa when I came down the hill, I didn't smell the salt. So is there anything else to point out about here? Yeah, there used to be sort of end of the pier shows and things like that for the summer season, and all sorts of entertainment. I don't think there's ever a casino here, but it's somewhat a shadow of its former self. There are not that many shut-up buildings. Look, Royal Victoria Pavilion, and was there a Wetherspoons around here? Come on, no town is complete without a Wetherspoons. So it's part of one of the Cinque Ports, one of those historic ports designated that in the Middle Ages for defending the southern coast of England in the Hundred Years' War. And there's always a warden of the Cinque Ports who's appointed. I can't think who it is. Cinque, as in the French word for five. I think there are actually more than five of them, despite the name. But they don't spell it like Cinque. They spell it like Cinque, the Italian. These post boxes, phone boxes, the red call boxes, they're usually disused because it's not worth British Telecom's time to maintain the phones. We've all got mobiles these days. They often end up as being used as impromptu public conveniences if you're compelled to answer a call of nature. Right. Oh yeah, and I can yonder see some wind turbines on the horizon, but no doubt they'll be invisible to the naked eye. And was there some sort of fortress here? I have a feeling there was some sort of tunnel fortress here, because I did visit this town a few years ago and with my pupil and walked into it, but it looks like it's closed at the moment. A lot of renovation, but hearteningly there is some construction going on here, so it's obviously not finished quite as a tourist destination for reasons I adumbrated here and before, partly that the straightened circumstances of the economy meant there's been a bit of a recrudescence of tourism for Britons within their native land. Yeah. Oh, I'm about to come up to the sandy beach, and you know, unfortunately, you're not going to get my bikini shot, so no matter how much you want one. Yeah, so it was in there, but it looks like it's shut. A huge white wall, that was the tunnel, was that sort of Second World War fortress thing, where they could shelter people from air raids and such like. So this is the sandy beach I was talking about. Anyway, so that is enough of Ramsgate. Okay, goodbye everybody.